Hear now the Gospel by Mark. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Thus far the text. You may be seated. In 1971, I experienced something that really scared me. I had chest pains, shortness of breath, hurting in the arms. Now, I come from a family of heart trouble. My father died at a very young age. My middle brother, who was 6 years older than I, had his first heart attack at this particular time in his life. And I thought, boy, here it is. Here's my time. Well, we went to the ER. They ran all kinds of tests, and they said, "There's nothing wrong with you." Turns out, the problem was I was allergic to coffee. All this worry, all this fuss over nothing. Give up the coffee, no more pain, everything is fine. You know, Easter is a whole lot of nothing. You believe that? Sure it is. First thing, the women were worried about who's going to roll away the stone. All this worry. They get there, the stone's already rolled away. All that worry for nothing. They go in with these ointments and, you know, how are they going to handle Jesus? They loved him so much. Did they bring him the right amount? How are they going to, would they break down and one start crying, the rest of them lose control? They go there, he's not there. All that worry about nothing. Peter and John run to the tomb, he's not there. Easter is about nothing. Stone rolled away. Guards already gone. Jesus is gone. Empty clothing laying there. So Easter is about an empty tomb, empty burial clothes, spices unused. Why all the fuss? Well, then there's this. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting at the side. They were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where he was. But go and tell his disciples he's gone ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him," get this, "just as he said." And another gospel says, "He is risen as he said." Jesus says something. It's true. You can take it to the bank. Now, when did he say this? Well, in Matthew 20, we read, "Now, Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and on the way he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. But on the third day he will rise again.'" Now, that's a promise that he made, and that's a promise that he kept. The apostle saw all kinds of miracles, and Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to him and said, "We know God is working with you because somebody couldn't do that unless God was." Well, now he makes a promise, the promise of Easter. If he could keep that promise, what promise can't he keep? So we repeat, Easter is about an empty tomb, nobody inside of it. It's about empty burial clothing. It's about a stone that's been rolled away. It's about spices and ointments which are not needed. But it's about a promise made and a promise kept. It's about a Savior who died for our sins and was raised again. It was God the Father proving that he accepted this sacrifice. It's about God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, no longer counting sins and trespasses against us. Now, in a different sense, Easter is still about nothing, in the sense that some of our Christian friends think that when Jesus said, "It is finished," he really didn't mean that. You see, if you're really going to be saved, you've got to do some things. Our friends in the Seventh Adventists would say you got to believe in Jesus and keep the Saturday Sabbath. You can't eat fish, you can't eat shrimp, which is all right by me, I don't like it anyhow. But can't drink coffee, that's all right with me too. But all these rules that they come up with. Some people say if you really want to be saved, you got to believe in Jesus and belong to my church. Some people say if you really believe in Jesus, then you'll be baptized by total immersion when you're an adult. And on the list goes. It's as though Jesus never really paid for our sins. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all thine iniquities, who pardons all thine injustices. But they don't believe that. And then there are those who say, yeah, believe in Jesus, be the best you can, and then figure on some purgatory time. It is finished. Jesus paid for all the sins of the world. And when God the Father raised him, it proved it is over with. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, no longer counting sins and trespasses against us. It is finished. But then Easter is also something for some people, and it's really nothing. It's an extra holiday. It's a time to have some more time off. It's a time to buy new clothing. It's a time for family to come together and have a really nice meal of ham and sweet potatoes or whatever else their family tradition is. Easter is a lot of nothing. I hope I'm stepping on somebody's toes here. If you think that the most important thing you can do is to be in church one time a year on Easter morning, that will keep your membership and that will let everybody know you're a Christian. My friends, you've got some more thinking to do. But Easter is a whole lot of something when you believe that Jesus keeps his promises. The promises like, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Promises. Well, what did Jesus say about the birds and the lilies? He said they're beautiful, they're well taken care of because God provides for them. And he cares much more for you. You never have to worry. Promises. Once you're in my Father's hand, no one can pluck you out. Promises. I will be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You never have to feel lonely again. Promises. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You feel burdened, you feel down and out. He is going to take care of you. Easter, an empty tomb, a fulfilled promise. God is faithful. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, he will make them as white as snow. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, let's go to the death of Lazarus. Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. And then he asked the question to Mary, I'm going to ask it to you. What was that question? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? That if you believe that, you can also believe this. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. If you believe that, then you believe that when your moment comes, the angel of the Lord will tap you on the shoulder and say, come, for all things are now ready. And you will be immediately in the presence of Jesus. No time in the grave. No time in purgatory. No drifting away into nothingness. But you'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ and all the loved ones who have gone ahead of you. You'll hear Jesus say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundations of the earth were laid. And if you truly believe this, then your life will reflect this. The love of God will be in what you say and what you do and how you do it. Your Bible won't be a book on the shelf, but it'll be handy for you to read often. Your church attendance will be very, very frequent, as many times as you can possibly come. Your meals will begin with a prayer of thanksgiving. And the things that you say and do to your neighbor, your friends, your fellow workers, your fellow students, especially your family, will reflect the love of God. And when your turn comes, when that angel taps you on the shoulder, may you say along with St. Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me. And not just to me, but to all those who love his appearing. So when your celebration of life comes, when that moment when your family gathers together to pay respects for the last time, they can hear the message of the gospel and realize this isn't goodbye. This is farewell. We will see each other again on the side of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.